Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 39. On tonight's very special episode, we honor the Hollywood writer's strike and have written absolutely nothing for this show. Not one word of content has been penned, and absolutely no preparation has been done. Guys, I'm not sure if we can pull this off, you know, with this lack of preparation thing.
It's so much different than most other times.
I know, but...
We've been honoring the strike for many years now, then.
Well, that's true, you guys. I know you...
United we stand.
United we stand. Speaking of, I'm finding it really, really hard to empathize with these guys, the whole Hollywood writer's strike, because, you know, I understand they want to get paid more. They're not getting paid for certain things they think they should get paid for. Like, now all these TV shows are streamed on the web, blah, blah, blah. They're not getting paid for all the extra web content and all that. That's their big gripe. The thing is, when you go and... Go into Yahoo Entertainment and you see the pictures of John Stamos with his fist in the air holding a sign, strike, and some other dolt from ER doing the same thing. They act like they're part of the French Revolution. You know, like they act like this is
John Stamos.
Because he's in ER now.
Yeah, but it's about the writers, though. Like, what is.
But these actors are so brave and so caring that they sided with their brethren, their writing brethren, and will not cross the picket line to help these writers, these highly paid Harvard grad writers, to get paid for...
You think they're highly paid? See, I think some money should come out of John Stamos' pocket. And don't you feel like in the equation, the writers are always underappreciated and underpaid compared to the celebrities and the actors that are in front of the camera?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just the economy of it. I mean, that's exactly how it is. And if you have a problem with it, go write a fucking novel and don't write for TV.
Good point.
You know? Like, that's the problem. These guys are like, you know, I have a graduate degree from Harvard in English and I should be getting... No, you shouldn't. You decided to get in this industry, and granted, the industry has changed.
You're lucky they even got a job with an English degree these days.
But you know what? Many people's work, when you do something, gets repurposed, and the people you work for own that content and use it, okay? You're still getting paid handsomely. I feel a little bit for it. Like, I love The Office, but I saw this video today of the writers of The Office just standing around on the picket line, you know, just waxing funny about everything that's going on, but they really are angry and are like, and we did all this extra work and we didn't get paid for it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I just couldn't get behind it. So I thought we'd start the show off on a good note.
Doesn't it make you upset, like, by comparison, when, like, the cast of Friends went before they were canceled or before they hung it up, were making $1 trillion per episode, and they're really, you know, like, maybe one out of the six is even slightly funny?
Yeah. And where are they all now?
That's what I'm saying.
Question,
like, obviously.
Right?
So it was obviously the writers, you know, and I'm sure they got paid probably 1/18th of what the actors
that's
and actresses.
That's the business, you know. That's you have to realize that when you go in there. But if you know, if you're really good,
I think I'm pro-writer and you're anti-writer.
Well, you know what? Go write a movie then, because movie writers get paid handsomely.
Are you telling me to go write a movie?
Go write a movie, Todd. Leave this podcast right now. Russ and I can handle this.
Impossible. You for so many reasons.
All right, that was our little serious part of the show, and we're not going to stay too serious for much longer. But I think in the last three podcasts, guys, we've talked about, you know, the Radiohead download online thing. I'm just going to put it to bed with something very interesting I found out. A new study just came out. Guess how many people paid absolutely nothing, a percentage-wise, of
60-something percent, right?
Of the 100% of all the people who bought the new Radiohead album, downloaded it, how many paid absolutely nothing for it?
In other words,
all
equals 100.
I'm so confused because you can't even get it out of your head without Todd, like, 60%! I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
All right, here we go.
So I couldn't sit through the explanation of 100% equaling everyone.
So, all right, so out of everybody who downloaded the Radiohead album,
100%.
100% of those people actually downloaded it.
Right. How many of the 100% that actually downloaded it paid for it?
Yeah, that's good.
0% of a dollar.
Right.
Right.
And is it 60%?
It was something like that. I remember hearing it on the news. True?
Yeah, it's in the U.S., only 40% of the people paid for it, and the average was $8. The other 60% paid nothing. They just took it. And worldwide, the average price was $4.50. So the average price in the whole universe was $6, but two-thirds of the people just took it for free.
Is that because the dollar's weak?
more people from the U.S. paid for it than elsewhere?
Well, no, they paid a little bit more on average.
They were more generous when deciding to pay, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah, they were more generous, yeah. And now, you know, Radiohead, they kind of stuck it to EMI, their label, and said, you know, we're not putting this out on the label. So EMI just decided that they're putting out a Radiohead box set for the holidays, all their CDs in this, you know, fabulous box set just to make more money off them. And it was kind of like an FU to Radiohead.
Wow.
Like, we control your music and we know you're putting this, they are, Radiohead is putting this out on a CD mm-hmm. with all this artwork and all this cool stuff, and they're not using EMI, their old label. So now they're kind of at, you know, sniping at each other. And so, you know, labels are a little angry, and they're going to...
I was going to say, increasingly, don't you think that this is going to be a war now that artists begin to win?
Yeah,
thanks
definitely.
To distribution.
Definitely.
Changes in distribution, yeah.
And it's just not the the indie bands doing it. Did you hear about the Eagles? You heard of the Eagles, the rock band? You guys big fans?
Wasn't Jimmy Buffett in that band?
Yes, it's close yeah. enough. It's a bunch of old stone California hippies who have the greatest selling album ever in the United States.
They're like the poor man Steve Miller Band.
Yeah. But isn't it amazing that they they have the number one album of all time sales?
The Eagles?
Yeah,
greatest hits.
Yeah. But anyway, they did something almost similar. They did a direct exclusive deal with Walmart. So you can only get their album in Walmart. It's still sold like 700,000 copies. But they, I did a little research and I found out, so it's an exclusive deal. Walmart bought about 4 million units at $8 or $9 a unit from the Eagles, and then they could sell for whatever they want. So the Eagles got all that money up front. They got whatever, 4 million times $8 or $9. So they already got that money. So now, the only thing that the Eagles had to do was take care of, you know, the production of it.
So it's like the artists wholesaled their own mm-hmm. music to the retail franchise.
Right. Isn't that pretty cool? And no returns. So, right. you know, a lot of the businesses, you know, you have to take your returns back, but there's no returns in there. So, and no iTunes for this Eagles. It's just all Walmart distribution.
It goes to show you the kind of people that are listening to the Eagles.
Yeah.
They're more likely to get their music from Walmart than iTunes.
They targeted, you know, probably the right, you know, seller for their music. And
yeah, you know, and it's like I say about a lot of artists. So if the Eagles want to play that game, be my guest. I won't listen to your music. Not that I would anyway, but seriously, be my guest. Take that off of my radar because I don't need it.
Be right. Russ's guest, Eagles. Don Felder, Don Henley, Timothy B. Schmidt. Who else?
Joe Walsh.
Glenn Frey. The heat is on.
You know what? He'll never top Smuggler's Blues in my book. Remember that little bit of the 80s when he was popular?
Uh-huh. Do you have a song to play that you think might be able to top that?
I certainly do, guys. There's one band, only one band in the world at this point, that's better than the Eagles. And that's the band State Bird. And this is their song, I Saw the Light.
Sold exclusively at Target.
I saw the light, yeah, it shined in my eyes, now I cannot look away. I saw the light, yeah, it shined in my eyes, now I cannot look away. The clouds opened up and the sun came through, it was a glorious day. I saw the light, yeah, it shined in my eyes, now I cannot look away. Taking
All right, and we're back. That was State Bird with I Saw the Light, straight out of Dover, Ohio. Probably my favorite band in Dover, Ohio.
Probably my favorite town in Ohio, actually.
Dover? Is that the town that you know and love so well,
no,
Russ?
No. Actually, where is Dover? Do you know?
No. But we're going to find
Ohio?
Out. This whole album by State Bird, it has a whole Pilgrim Indian theme running through it. Perfect for Thanksgiving, wouldn't you say? Which is coming up.
You still call them Indians?
Injuns. I call them Injuns. And every year I try to honor our past, our American past, and I go to a reservation and I hand out blankets to all the little Indian children, and they're filled with anthrax.
Yeah, anthrax.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Better than Pox, I suppose.
This new...
Come so far.
Yeah, you can check out this band State Bird at MySpace/StateBirdMusic or go to therecordmachine.net, which is their label, and this fantastic album should be available soon. Guys, let's get back to the hard-hitting topics of today. Now, Todd, we kind of mentioned in a podcast or so ago that new Macs were coming out, and you seemed very excited. Did you do anything to follow up?
Did you do anything drastic?
Well, yeah, I bought the biggest, fattest, flyest, souped-up iMac money can buy. That's not what I want to talk about so much, but it's a beautiful machine, and the new operating system is lovely, but blah, blah, blah.
What did you do with your old one?
They're side-by-side right now.
Wow, one making fun of the other.
Yeah, like a computer Batman and Robin. And, But I also got an Apple TV, and this is not brand new technology. It's been on the market probably for about 6 months now. But for those of you who don't know, even in this room, what that is, it's a small box that sits on your entertainment or near your entertainment system in your living room, and it taps into your network, and you can sync content in the form of movies and TV shows and your music, and you can also stream content from any computer that's in your network. Mm-hmm. And then you sit on the couch with your giant projection screen TV,
right,
and whatever stereo system you have, and you can shuffle through using a little remote control all the music, all the content, and then as it plays, you know, it has the album cover up there in high definition, and then like the screensavers, like the albums going by and floating by, and it's gorgeous.
Questions.
It's the future of music listening.
Is the remote a remote that comes with the Apple TV, or is it your TV remote?
No, it's an Apple remote.
Okay, Apple remote. Question number two. How much would something like this set me back, Todd?
We bought it on eBay, slightly used. And,
wow.
Which was actually, I would have paid more but we paid maybe $270, I think it's normally, or $260 was normally $300.
For the box, it's just a box and a remote?
Correct. And yeah. Heather actually got it for me for a pool gift, which is like a push gift, but the husband gets it.
What?
You never heard of a push gift?
What?
Well, as a husband who has...
I am a husband.
...a pregnant wife, you're supposed to get the wife a push gift. A gift for pushing the baby out. It's called a push gift. But
oh.
Of course,
did you do that, Jeff?
No, my wife did not push out the baby. The baby came out through her stomach like Alien.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, that was perfect. But, so I demanded, of course, a pool gift, which...
Alright. Maybe I should get a rip from the innards gift for Kelly.
But anyway, but the cool thing is we got it slightly used. We saved a couple bucks, and we also got to go through the photographs that were... the residual photographs of the people that we bought her from. So, they just got their basement refinished as well. They got new cabinets in their kitchen, at least that's what I assume. Or they love the kitchen cabinets that they have. They took so many photographs of them. we saw their trips to Hawaii and, you know, their road trip across the country.
How much lurid sex did you see?
Unfortunately, none. But we did see a couple of the guy giving the finger to the camera, which he thinks apparently is really funny.
Yeah.
Because
so you bought this from a hoot? That guy sounds like a real hoot.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, the finger at a camera? Please, Jeff. There's no writer's strike.
What, that's really odd. See, that's the thing about eBay when you buy stuff like that. Like, I would get freaked out if I got the box and there just was a simple, like, bottle ring stain on the box or something. You know what I mean? Like, something that said it was that person's property and now it's mine. I love new stuff. I don't buy stuff used. Like, just some little thing, like, you open it up and there's, like, a Hershey's Kiss wrapper in the box, too. That, you know, this guy was just sitting there, like, thumbing through the instruction manual, eating snacks, and just mussing it up. I would just throw it right in the garbage, all $270 worth of it in the garbage.
So now when you're watching movies and listening to music and stuff like that, there must be an audio out on that box as well?
Yeah. Okay. And it's all the the new cutting edge cable stuff that you use. It's not like the old AV plugs. Plus, you can now take any
coaxial. I don't know what that is. Keep going.
You can take all your DVDs that you might come across, and you can put that content onto your hard drive if you want, and then have that available to you as needed.
Standard commercial DVDs.
If you have the programs that do that, yeah.
Mac the Ripper and the like.
Mac the Ripper, Handbrake, et cetera, yeah.
Okay, so I know Russ and I were looking at each other like, this sounds pretty good, but there's always some sort of... Is the quality good? I mean, when you're looking
at... The quality is incredible.
It is,
like,
it's
you
awesome.
Can't believe you're looking at something so crisp, clean, and sounding so good.
So you could then...
even though it's
I had to pinch
even
myself.
Though it's a 128-bit MP3? Oh, get some.
But enough about that. I mean, you know, we don't need that. We don't need to help advertise for Apple. They're making their money, but it's a nice piece of equipment.
Now, this has the new Leopard operating system. Is that true?
What's Leopard?
Leopard. Yeah, it's the new one.
That wasn't different from
Leopard. Yeah, what's the new killer app in this Mac?
Well, Time Machine is a big thing. So
what?
you set the increment and it remembers the state of your computer, everything about your computer. And if you open up Time Machine, you can shuffle back to these other snapshots.
Oh my gosh! Windows XP's been doing that for like 5 years.
It really has. But they do it in a slicker fashion. Rush, you don't have to go through like all these sub menus and you know.
No, but it looks neat because there's a space background. That is so it's like cool. A time machine.
It's all about presentation, Russ.
And also there's a thing called Spaces, I think, where there you have multiple desktop areas which you can shuffle through, which are kind
that
of
cool. That sounds cool. I like that.
It's nice, yeah. And then they come up. You can make as many as you want, and then they come up like the Brady Bunch, and you pick which one you want. So all the applications and all the windows that you have open and cluttering the desktop are in... desktop number 3, and then you can you hit a button where you can see them all tiled across your screen, and you pick the one and that one takes up the screen.
Right.
I like it. Russ, why don't we play something by a fantastic new band?
Okay, we're going to play something by, the band is called Half Acre Day. They're out of Seattle. This is off their brand new album, which is called 14 Trips Around the Sun, and this track is called B-I-O-T-A.
Biota.
Okay, that was Half Acre Day. Fantastic new band. I've actually reviewed them on our site, so you can check that out. And that was BIOTA, which stands for, Todd, did you pick it up?
Big, oh, I forget, you just said it just moments ago.
Blame it on the aliens.
What do you think about acronyms that use a T for the in it?
Yeah, a lot of people get rid of it, right?
Like, yeah, like, well, the Nashville Network, TNN. Like, if that's the way we
well, the rule of thumb is if it helps out the little what you're going for, they keep it, and if it doesn't, they get rid of it.
Yeah. So this way, when those guys are practicing or playing on stage, over they're like, "All right, Biota," or whatever. You know, it's a word. Whereas if you took that T out, it's Bioa.
Okay.
Or something, and they probably would not have shortened it.
Okay.
You happy with that? Is that a good answer?
Well, yeah, it doesn't explain TNN, but.
You don't like TNN because it's the National Network?
Like, if that's the way we did all acronyms, then there'd be a giant T section.
Yeah, but I think it does. It really just depends on what people want.
TUSA would be our country.
TUSA.
TUSA. Wow, I didn't even think of that.
That reminds me that.
We're Tushin.
This is a big tangent. It may get cut. TUSA. Like, when I was growing up. My dad was allergic to, like, every possible deodorant out there, so the only stuff he could ever use was Tussie. You remember that stuff? Did you ever see?
Made for a woman, but strong enough for a man? Is that...
Wasn't it pronounced... So what...
I do remember Tussie, though.
What is it, like, fragrance-free... Like, fragrance-free deodorant? Like,
it's like super, super generic stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was female.
No.
I thought it was, like, that female, and it was a liquid, and it came with, like, a little rollerball.
No, you're
that
thinking...
That wasn't Tussie.
Yeah, no, that was made for a woman, strong enough for a man, made for a woman.
Yeah,
right?
It may have had a Rollerball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rollerball the movie. The original was great.
What would happen to him if he wore a deodorant that he was allergic to?
Dude, it would sneeze? You never had that happen? I had that happen to me. No. It's not pretty.
What happens?
There's this stuff called Mitchum is the company, and they make this hardcore deodorant. And if you...
It smells like Robert Mitchum, the actor. That's why it smells exactly like him. You'd be amazed.
If you're allergic to it, or if it's the wrong kind of... Like, because most deodorant has aluminum in it. Mm. And, like, certain levels of it, you can be allergic to it. So anyway, what happened to me, I was wearing it for a couple days. I'm like, oh, this stuff is great. All of a sudden, one day, for whatever reason, I came out of the shower and I reached for something or something. I was like, holy crap. It looked like somebody had just been punching me.
It was all black and blue?
It was all... Like super black and blue.
Huh.
Like it was very strange. Like it was.
I think we have the photo for this podcast.
That's great. My favorite part of that story is before you found out you were allergic to it, you actually exclaimed, "Oh, this stuff is great!"
Yeah,
it was great.
Hey Russ, what's going on with you? Nothing much, you know, just hanging out, eating some pizza. But you're not going to believe this. My new deodorant is awesome. Yeah, we could tell, Russ. You look a lot happier in life. Thanks, guys.
Look, listen to me. Every once in a while, you have to change your deodorant if it stops working.
What do you mean it stops working?
Really,
do you
feel
like your does your body does your scent build up an immunity to the deodorizer?
No, it's not a scent thing. It's generally a perspiration thing.
Wow.
But you think that that they lose their effectiveness after a while? Like your body builds up anti-deodorant bodies?
Look, that was the first time it ever happened to me. And it hasn't happened to me since. It happened to me once in my entire life. But I was wondering what the deal was. And that's what it was.
All right. Well, let's just thank God Russ is safe now, okay?
Well, let's hope.
Let's hope. I mean, with this new deodorant system he has.
At one point he thought that was great. So.
Yeah, I know, you know.
Now you never know.
Well, Todd, he may not be as happy as he was back in the Mitchum days, but he's safe, for God's sake.
4 days of Mitchum bliss.
I can't even watch a Robert Mitchum movie now. It's crazy. I wear Old Spice deodorant.
No, you don't.
I do.
Old Spice.
Old Spice has deodorant, antiperspirant deodorant, fresh scent, because I'm going to take it down. Because my dad wore Old Spice deodorant growing up, and it reminds me of him.
Hey, can we all agree that antiperspirant is the way to go? Like, who wears deodorant that's not antiperspirant? It just masks sweat smell, right?
There isn't any such thing.
Yeah, there is.
It's the gel kind.
Well, no, that used to be. I would have to read and be like, all right, I want deodorant and antiperspirant, because some stuff would just be deodorant.
Yeah, what? And deodorant is just like, it just puts smell over top of your own funk.
Yeah, maybe there is some reasons why people can't have antiperspirants. Maybe people are like, if I don't perspire, I could die.
Yeah,
so they only need
to roll around in mud.
Right. I think there might. We'll look into that. But
The antiperspirant is what keeps it dry. Did you ever put too much deodorant on and like the next day in the shower you can't get your armpits wet?
What?
What? No. I know, I'm digging out, like, meatball-sized chunks of white from under my arms.
Yeah, I've put on too strong deodorant, and then the next day I'm in the shower and trying to soap up. It won't catch. You know, like, the water won't hit there.
Aaron.
I can't believe we've devoted this much time to this.
You know what? Let's play a song.
This is the second podcast where we talked a lot about armpit and armpit.
Hey, Todd, I just have to tell you, this talk is kind of dirty. Now, can we just play a band?
I have something.
What? Why don't we get rid of this dirty talk and maybe play some...
Dirty Projectors.
Wow, Todd.
The Dirty Projectors with No More, coming from the album Rise Above. By the way, the Dirty Projectors, or Dirty Projectors, it's just a guy.
One guy, huh?
Who's made up a name and pluralized it to try to confuse us.
Trying to pretend he's like a bunch of Dirty Projectors and it's just one guy.
I don't get that. There's so many people who do that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure why they do that.
Why do they do that?
When I first started Use Wigs, I wrote articles under four different names. Just so I could,
but they're all singular names, though. You know, like, I don't understand the idea of like pluralizing and kind of giving yourself a band name when it's just you.
Yeah, like those somethings.
Well, you know what? Maybe it has something to do with people talking about it, like we're doing now.
Mm.
Right? This guy's a genius, Todd. That was right up your alley. Yeah, we were taken in. That was a pretty wacky song, right?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, of course you did.
You didn't like it?
I thought it was pretty fun, actually. Maybe I'm warming to your nonsense.
You know, speaking of taking in, get this. You know how you get the spoof emails sometimes?
Never.
Come on, you know you
of
get
course,
you
of
get
course, yeah. They're infuriating.
From PayPal and all that kind of crap. Yeah. And I'm sure that people get suckered all the time. But I always can see them coming a mile away. But because I've been selling my CD collection on eBay, right, I get this email out of nowhere that says, "Wow, you've sold a lot of things lately."
It's a question from another user. Is that what it is?
No. I always know when it's not a real eBay thing because it'll be like, you know, it's about some transaction or something that I didn't even do. So
I
know it's
right.
A spoof. I report it, and they immediately go, "Yeah, that was a spoof." But this one, everybody knows. In case everybody out there doesn't know what spoofing is, it's when you get these like fake emails that look like official emails from Amazon or eBay or whatever, and they ask you for your username and password for some reason.
It's also called phishing with the PH.
Right. So anyway, I get this email, and you know, a lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with what I've been doing. Like it'll say, "Oh, your password just got changed," or something. It's not true, so yeah. I just get rid of it.
Or a bank that you don't have an account with. Or
exactly.
Yeah.
But this time, because I had just sold so many things on eBay, I got this thing from them saying, "Hey, would you like to have the power seller icon next to your name because you sold all these things?"
They know the way to your heart.
Seriously?
You perked
exactly.
Right up.
I'm and like an idiot, I was like, "Yeah, that would be kind of cool." And I typed my username and password in there.
Oh!
It didn't even occur to me because whatever happened...
The mighty Russ.
Still looked official.
Yeah.
So it never occurred to me until, luckily, I was selling something on eBay at the time, which is rare.
Right.
But I happened to be, and I clicked on it the next day to see like if anybody was watching it or had bid on it. And somebody in France, there was a car on listed by me in France. It was like a Renault or something.
Yeah.
That somebody had listed for $12,000.
Yeah.
And I couldn't delete it.
Right.
So I had to get in touch with eBay, and I was like, I don't know what the hell is going on here. And it still didn't even occur to me what had happened.
Yeah.
I was like, how did these people get my account? But then I figured out, and I was like, these people now have access to my PayPal account, my credit card number, all this stuff.
Oh, no.
But
and the worst thing is you have to call all your friends and family and say, you know what? I'm not actually a power seller. All the people that you called the day before.
I had gone to the mall and got like a hat that said power seller made. It was tough.
Stop the press. I don't need those business cards that say power seller.
Lisa, that big dinner we went out with for last night in celebration. It's not as sweet. I'm not the power seller you thought I was.
Man, that's a double whammy for you.
So what? Did you have to cancel your credit card and stuff?
No, luckily I was able to get to it.
Before any of that
stuff happened, so I was just able to change my password. And as far as I know, I mean, you know, I'm watching all that stuff closely, but it doesn't seem like that any of that stuff has been corrupted.
Yeah.
Did we talk about on the podcast when Russ was over the house a couple weeks ago talking about how many things he sold and how proud he is of his 100% feedback?
Yeah.
Don't. No, this isn't going on the podcast. Because I don't have somebody buy for me and give me dickhead feedback.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Like, so Heather's like, "Oh, we should buy something and give him bad feedback." And, and the look on Russ's face, I thought he was going to flip over. I thought he was going to flip the table over.
Russ goes, "I swear to God, if I go to eBay and I see PowerSeller74 Yahoo.com as bad feedback, cool it, PowerSeller."
And I looked at her and I said, "That's why I married you."
You guys were pretty happy with yourselves.
I was happy with her. Yeah. Every once in a while.
Russ is like, "I can't believe I'm mad at a pregnant woman." My God. Hey, guys. I might have mentioned in prior, you know, you can go to Starbucks and get a song of a day. They give you a free song of the day.
Yeah, me too.
You just ask for it. They give you a card, and you go on iTunes, and you can download the songs.
It's like the latest Elton John hit.
It is like Josh Groban. It is the girl who the girl country singer from Australia. I think it's a guy actually. Keith Urban looks like a girl. Him. It's just like everything. You know, they're experts at targeting their demographic. You know what I mean? Like that soccer mom on the run who just wants to go in and get a $12 coffee and a scone. She could really use that new KT Tungstall song and all that crap. So I give up on even asking for them. But I'm like, that's cool. You know, Starbucks just really controlling the universe and everyone's lifestyle.
But it makes everyone happy. It's a symbiotic relationship between the artist, the drinker, the listener. And
yeah, there's no negative, really.
Yeah.
You're right. If you don't like it, you can just say...
And people, and there are artists that are getting their music in front of people.
Very true. Very true. Well, I bring this up, Todd, this is a seg for another Starbucks thing. If you look at their coffee cups now, they have quotes on them. Certain cups have quotes from famous people that are supposed to like empower you or just make you feel good.
Mm.
I'm not kidding. This isn't
like coffee for the soul.
Music, he says, is what I always turn to when I'm feeling a certain way. Yeah. Josh Groban said that on a coffee cup. Yeah. Music, he says, is what I always turn to when I'm feeling a certain way. Music.
Wow, that is deep.
It's nice, right? The most important thing in life is to stop saying I wish and start saying I will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King said that, I think, right?
Actually, very close. David Copperfield.
Oh, David Copperfield. I get them mixed
the,
up.
The magician slash molester.
Yeah, rapist. Right. The magic rapist.
The dungeon master himself come to my isle. He had a whole island that he would just...
Make disappear.
Well, he would make disappear so it was off the radar when he brought women there and raped them. Anyway, these are the types of people who are quoted on their cups.
Hmm.
So... Be prepared when you're down in your coffee and you decide you have nothing to read and you're reading your cup that you might not be so inspired.
When you're ready for a nugget for life from Katie Couric.
It reminds me of, like, you remember when we were little? You could barely even buy these anymore, but you remember, like, Dixie Cups?
Yeah.
And Dixie Cup dispensers, like, stuck on the side of everyone's cabinet? And you would have your Return of the Jedi Dixie Cups. You had your Star Trek Dixie Cups. But the big one that I used to always see was the ones with, like, the jokes and the riddles.
Yes.
And it had the three secondary colors, like, orange, green, and violet, different pictures. And you'd hear a lot of Q&A, a lot of quotes, and a lot of riddles and questions on
like, sad. When you go into like a grandma's house or something, there's always like on the side of the refrigerator just kind of like the remnants of the Dixie cup
in a
holder, you know, like broken plastic that's just there. And you're like,
the back half of it.
And you're just like, I wonder, you know, you're being like junior archaeologist in the house. You're like, I wonder what once lived there. Oh, a Dixie cup dispenser. She kind of wanted to get rid of it, but really didn't.
From this archaeological evidence, we can deduce that in 1977, a Dixie cup dispenser was on the side of this refrigerator.
It's like a sticky foam.
Like right before we got rid of our old refrigerator growing up, like 15 years after the fact, you would see on the side like half peeled off a Garbage Pail Kid, Wacky Pack stickers all on the side of the fridge that my brother and I put them up one day, thought it'd be great, and my dad's like, that looks like crap. Get that off of there. You know, like those remnants
of
a past...
Your parents going home that day like, they're going to be so excited when they see this, right? What we did at the refrigerator.
Right, remnants of a past life. But that to me is kind of sad. But it's also kind of happy then if you look at it, you're like, wow, that used to be a Dixie cup dispenser.
And you remember like the bottom of the Dixie cup dispenser had like those little plastic bristles?
Pull the cup clear of.
Dixie cups.
A marvel of
Why do they not sell them anymore, I wonder? Because it's wasteful?
They do, yeah, but I think a lot of people
it's
like wasteful. It's like the people who don't like paper plates, you know? Like, just use your plates and wash them. Don't be such a... you know, anti-environmental spendthrift, and you know, which makes sense to me.
The green movement ruined Dixie cups.
Guys, I have a new. Why don't we play a song, and I'm going to come back with a brand new segment. Okay.
Ooh, all right.
Yes. Let me see. What song is up on our master list? Ah, this is a good one. This is a new band called The Bottomless Pit off of the new record label Comedy-1.com. Comedy-1.com. This is The Bottomless Pit with their new song, Repossession.
Take me away. You ever feel like you're going?
And we're back, people. That was Repossession off the new album Hammer of the Gods by The Bottomless Pit. I like to call this a supergroup, if you will. The Bottomless Pit is made up of former members of Silkworm, one of my favorite bands from the 90s, and Chris Manfrin from Seam and Brian Orchard from .22 or .22 Caliber. And Comedy-1.com, it is the new record label from John Solomon from PRB fame. And if you go and buy this album from Comedy-1.com, their website, and mention Newswigs, they will send you a super secret surprise bonus CD. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
And you know it's going to be good because he has impeccable taste in music. So go check out Comedy-1.com, Bottomless Pit, and they also have the new one from Carl Hendricks from Pittsburgh, one of my favorite men in rock. Men in rock. Well, it used to be Carl Hendricks Trio.
It's like favorite men in rock.
War album.
It really does. I said I have a brand new bit. I like to call it stuff you already know is cool, but I'm just playing catch up. You know what I'm saying, guys? Mm-hmm. I'm just getting in on this. We probably talked about it before, but Flight of the Conchords. My God, that might be the funniest show in the past 5 years on TV. Mm. The most low-energy, mellow show, and it's just laugh-out-loud funny. If you're a music geek, if you're a comedy geek, this show is just perfect for you. Have you seen it, Russ?
No, and everybody tells me that I have.
And doesn't that make you suspicious when everybody's like...
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, you got to hear the funny song from the show. And then you listen to the funny song, and you're like, yeah, it's kind of funny. But in context of the show, it's brilliant. These two guys, New Zealanders, excellent musicians. They have a real, like, keen sense of music and music history and, like, putting the right type of song, parody song, to the right type of music.
Right.
You know they know their stuff. You know, they're not just, like, Weird Al you know, Eat It. They're like, I know, you know, blue-eyed 70s soul. This song would be perfect for that. So I'm going to sing it in this, and they're really good at it.
We shouted them out.
We did.
Years ago, before they even had their own show. I think we shouted out the YouTube clips.
Yeah, because there were those YouTube clips I seen.
Right.
But now it's it's time because it's the same thing happening with Entourage with Tenacious D. People were like, "You're gonna love this," and I heard so much about it that it turned me off.
But by the way, we were just extolling the virtues of Entourage, and the last season was one of the worst seasons of any TV show I've ever seen. It was like all the writers quit, the producers quit, and like writers for Maxim decided to take over the show. It was really bad.
I thought season 3 was excellent.
Yeah, the one before.
So the writers do deserve all that money.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Anyway, Flight of the Conchords, they have a new one. They're the complete first season's out on DVD. And if you saw one of the final ones when Todd Barry and Dimitri Martin were on, just check out that episode. That's all I'm going to say. It's fantastic. This sounds like a shout-out.
Hey!
But this is called Stuff You Already Know Is Cool, but I'm just playing catch up. What are you looking at, Todd?
I'm Netflixing it.
Wow,
right,
he's
now
Netflixing as we're talking.
Netflixing Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was out. I'm gonna get it first.
You certainly are. Guys,
we'll see.
We have a new mayor in the city. Do you know who that is?
Nutter.
Michael Nutter. Very happy. He's very cool.
You know, the thing that bothered me about him is, and it doesn't matter where you're listening, there's similar things happening everywhere. During his political campaign, during the commercials, at the end, when he, like, waves goodbye to the camera and the viewing audience, he is surrounded by a group of people that are so purposely and specifically multicultural, it's disturbing. Like, it's so random, it's scary. Like, you know, Asian guy, black woman, white couple. It looks like, it's like Sesame Street.
Hippie guy hugging a soldier, right? Just, like, really. Do you know Michael Nutter winning the mayoral election? Guess what the turnout rate was in Philly for election?
30%.
No, Todd. Duh. 29%.
Was that really?
That's pretty good, Todd.
29%.
Pretty sad, kids. Philadelphia. No one really giving a crap. Well, I think everyone just realized he was going to win because
he was a shoo-in. But did you see the commercial for the other guy?
No, Trachtenberg. Al, whatever.
Oh my gosh, he's from the Northeast, and like that was his whole platform. Like just one person after another, a parade of Northeasterners. He's from the Northeast. He seems like a nice guy. He's from the Northeast. He seems like a really nice guy. And then I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating. Suddenly there's a woman speaking to the camera wearing sunglass goggles in the shape of two beer bottles. And she says, he seems like a nice guy. Like, this is the person that he chose to endorse him on the... like, oh, I have beer goggles, sunglasses like that.
That person looks like they're having a good time. I should do what they do.
Yep.
Hey, guys.
Oh, politics.
I have another little special thing. I don't like you, and I don't need to give you a reason why. Regis Philbin. I don't like him at all. Anyway, guys, let's go on to something that we like to call...
Do you like Kelly Ripa?
I feel like I have to because she...
has enormous teeth.
Enormous teeth. She has gigantic teeth. She's from Philly. She used to be on Dancing on Air and all that stuff, so people feel like...
Dancing on Air.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can stomach her?
No, I can't because I was just in the waiting room finding out what I was going to have, what flavor child, and I had to sit through Regis and Kelly and Rachel Ray. And I never really want to see anyone get physically hurt, even the people I really don't like in this world.
But it's a butt.
But if Rachel Ray was on a motorcycle and endoed and just... Her face was so badly scarred that she could never appear on a Triscuit box again. That I could deal with. Okay.
I'm actually a Triscuit shareholder, though, so...
All right. Why don't we play something nice to get me out of this foul mood that Rachel Ray put me in. I think, what's up next? Oh.
I just call her Rach.
Rach? Oh. You know, she came up with so many of her great words. She came up with the word yummo. Did you, Rachel? I don't think so. She came up with another word, delish. She calls things delish. Todd, that means delicious. Oh, you. I'm a little angry at Rachel. Russ, why don't we play something by that band you like, the Hot Springs?
Okay. was the Hot Springs. They're out of Montreal, Canada.
Oh, Montreal, Canada.
Yes. And their new album is called Volcano, and that's the first track called Head Rush.
Lavalicious. All right. Hey, you know what? I want to...
Maybe your deodorant is hurting your chest.
You guys want to do what you're listening to? That's always fun. What you listening to, Russ?
I'm listening to a band from Mexico called Chiquita Violenta.
Wow.
Very cool. Like
that means violent bananas, correct?
I think it means violent woman or something, doesn't it?
I think so.
But you know, very cool band. Their latest album is excellent. I'm listening to that, and it's lovely.
All right. Todd, what are you listening to?
With my e-music,
yes,
90 downloads, I spent them on almost the entire Funkadelic catalog.
Wow.
Maggot Brain is my favorite currently.
Wow, going back. Funkadelic, the Parliament Funkadelic mm-hmm. we're talking about? Like Bootsy Collins and all that good stuff?
That's right.
Wow. I'm one of those people who, I'm not going to be one of those people who go, I love Funkadelic. Yeah, I'm like, I know probably two or three of their songs. They're great. And I'm sure they're great. But they're great. Correct, Todd?
I mean, makes you feel cooler when you listen to it.
It makes you feel cooler, makes you feel like it's fun music, right?
Yeah, puts a bounce in my step.
Puts a bounce in your step. I remember Bernie Mac was talking in one of his Bernie Mac shows about all his music divided up, and he was telling the kid not to go in it, and he's like, oh man, you got into my happy rap. Like he divided his rap music up into like, you know, gangster and happy, and it was like the Will Smith and like, you know, the real, just the way you call it.
De La Soul.
His happy rap. You know what? That's De La Soul was not a happy rap act. They got that whole flower power thing just from that one video, but the whole album.
An album cover, 3 miles
right,
high
right,
and rising.
But that's not what they were about. And okay. They get a little peeved about that because if you listen to them.
They were misunderstood, those guys.
They were. They weren't like, you know, just a lightweight flower power hippie kind of hip hop. They were a little bit more than that.
Was that Me, Myself, and I?
Right. But they're.
Well, they got to pop a cap in somebody's ass so they can be taken
no,
seriously.
No, they really don't, Todd. That's not how you get things accomplished in this world, okay?
Unless it's
you and I come from two different places, two different worlds, Todd. Jeff.
You were born on the mean streets of. Where were you? I don't even know where you're from.
Bucks County.
Oh, God.
Where you had to pop a cap. pop a cap to survive.
Please. Jeff, what are you listening to? Well, Jeff, I'm listening to an album that came out over the summer, Editors, an End has a Start CD. It's fantastic. It's kind of like Interpol, Stella Star meets The Smiths. I like to call it drama rock. It's like that rock you hear drama it, and the guy's voice is just so like booming and theatrical, and it's fun to sing along to. That's what I like. And in the car by myself, I sing along. I pretend
like
that
Bohemian Rhapsody. Is that,
nah,
is that
that's a little
rock?
That's cheesy. Yeah, but that is kind of
you've gone too far.
That's theatrical, right? But this is just kind of like you're on a mountaintop with one arm. It's good stuff. It's all, you know, it's British and stuff like that. I really dig that. And that's what I've been listening to. And we always like to follow up what you're listening to with a little thing we call shout outs.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Hooray! Are you guys ready to shout? Or do
yes.
you want? How about I start the shouts? Because I was last in what you're talking about. Wouldn't it be fair if I started out? Now, Todd, you might know this guy. Have you heard of the hyper-realist sculptor Ron Muick, Muecc? Have you heard of him, Todd?
Uh-uh.
This is amazing.
Oh, yes, yes. Is he the one that does, like, a giant head?
Yeah, he does. You got to pull this up, everybody.
A big baby. There's a big
yes,
baby.
Yeah, yes. He does. What he does is he's a London-based photorealist artist. He's from Australia originally. His parents are toy makers, and he wasn't a sculptor at all. He was, like, in a... He worked special effects on TV shows. He was in the film Labyrinth. He did that with David Bowie. But all his work is proportionally correct.
He made Hoggle.
It's either over or undersized. He'll do an enormous, like, crouching boy. And if you look at it, it's eerie how lifelike it is. And the beauty of it is, when you go into, like, the museum to see it, you see, like, this giant sick woman in a bed. But when you see the normal person standing next to her, the contrast is, like, awe-inspiring.
It's all about scale, yeah.
It is. And you never really, you know, in art, obviously, Todd, in sculpture, you know, scale is important, but when you could show the contrast of scale, which is, you know, like, mm-hmm. Russ, I'm going to show you a little. Like, that is an actual giant piece.
What is it made out of?
He does a special effects guy, so everything's like a, you know, I'm not a scientist, but I'd say polymers.
I
don't know.
That's pretty wacky.
Russ, it's freaky. It's like, it's almost borderline creepy, but you got to go, and I think
Wow, where is that?
this isn't a, I forget, this, the, you can just go to, type in Google, Ron, R-O-N, Muke, M-U-E-C-K.
And it'll say like where they're showing.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff.
It's worth
stuff.
The cyber trip. It really is breathtaking stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. You look at it right away, you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I want to start sculpting.
Yeah, you got a long way to go.
I really do.
No, you go get a bar of Irish Spring and a little pocket knife.
That's right, a little.
Start your whistling and get to it.
That's great.
Put on a big Irish sweater and just sit there and let it all happen.
That's Irish Spring deodorant soap. Get you fresh and clean as a whistle.
And also, I just want to shout out Bob Mould's new DVD, Circle of Friends, might be the greatest live performance CD I've ever seen, just based on pure quality.
It would be the only live performance CD I've ever seen.
Ooh, he got you. He got you good.
Get some of that, Lions.
He got you good.
I guess
learn how
he
to identify your shiny discs, kid.
It should be
a
DVD, not a CD. I'm a dick. Todd, do you have any shout-outs?
You know what? We all know that if you get like 14 adults in a room to try to do some kind of career development or staff development, they use the word piggybacking.
Oh, is that one of the new terms?
You never heard that before? Like, when people are talking in a group, like, just to piggyback on what she said.
Well, Rush, you probably have more.
I'd like to piggyback on what, you know, they're all want to.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of morons talking about piggyback.
So I'm gonna piggyback on you. I'll piggyback on what you just shouted out. How you like that? This is a piggyback.
Get on my fat back and.
Your fat back. Dwayne Hansen. Hansen, if you like hyper-realistic sculpture, mm-hmm. you like the guy that Jeff just directed you to, Dwayne Hansen, back in the 70s, American sculptor doing hyper-realistic stuff. And it's not about – well, the scale is actual scale, one-to-one scale. And he made like just kind of very normal, plain, overweight American figures and just put them in like populated public places. And in addition to galleries, and the phenomenon of people like going up and looking at them to try to figure out if they're people or not was really very interesting. Cool. So Dwayne Hansen is a guy that was really kind of a trailblazer in that.
Dwayne Hansen. Oh, Ian. Dwayne Hansen Ian, I guess. Okay, so you just kind of Google him and you can check that out, right?
Dwayne Hansen.
All right, very nice.
H-A-N-S-E-N.
And Russ, I hope you have a sculptor too in your shoutouts, or you're not hanging with the cool. You're not hanging with the cool kids.
I had the sculptor trifecta.
I'm not sure I can think of a sculptor right now, but I will shout out. Have you guys seen? There's a short. It's like a short animated feature called The Amazing Screw-On Head. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's
what kind of animation?
Please say claymation. No. It's
Ooh, Davey.
It's all hand-drawn stuff.
Oh,
okay.
No, you in particular will love it. It's only about 25 minutes long. You can get it through Netflix. And Jeff, you'll love it because Patton Oswalt is one of the voice talents.
Oh, fantastic.
David Hyde Pierce is in it, who is excellent. There's like a handful of like, you know, really interesting, like kind of cutting edge people doing the voices. The animation is fantastic. And the whole premise is it's like, It takes place in the mid-1800s, and it's like Abe Lincoln has this robotic assassin that works for him. I mean, it's completely bizarro stuff. And really, really worth your time. My wife really enjoyed it as well. It's an excellent little thing, especially if you're on Netflix.
What's it
I
called
would throw
again?
It up there. It's called The Amazing Screw-On Head.
Looks like based on a comic book from Dark Horse. Yeah.
It is. That's correct.
I'm going to go back to my shouts, and I think we all mentioned this before. Remember Pandora?
Yeah.
The website. Have you been to it lately?
Not.
It is great. I mean, I was there, you know, months and months ago, and I really dug it. But I just went on it again. It is fabulous for just recommendations, creating playlists, just based. You go in there, put in your favorite band, and I was really putting it through, thinking I'm going to stump it and putting in these bands. And it was bringing back bands that I heard of that were very similar and very good, and new bands that sounded like these old bands now that I was just so impressed by it. And they have a whole new interface and, ways to listen to music on Pandora and buy music. So, definitely check them out again. They're doing really good work. What are you guys going to do now that your favorite TV shows will not be around? How will you fill that time, that immense block?
It's just late night television first, right? And then it will.
You know what? This will affect you, Todd, because you like the late night. You like the Conans, the Lettermans,
Stephen Colbert, The Daily Show.
Yeah, that's all the stuff you like. And normally I bring up TV stuff, and you guys look at each other like a deer looking at another deer, right? Where I'm like, oh, this hurts. But so you are affected by this.
Yeah.
And they're all shutting down. So
I don't know what it's going to do to the quality of my life.
I think you're going to maybe rent some more Netflix stuff. That might help, right?
Once I start ripping stuff onto the Apple TV.
Well, guys, let's hope by the next time we broadcast that we are able to write, you know, and really do a lot of show prep and get this thing going because, you know, this show, like we said, not one word was written or scripted, and I think we did a damn fine job.
Well, I think that's appropriate since we're coming up on our 40th show.
40th show.
It's been quite a run, guys.
It really has. And you can listen to all two of the 40 that are up on our site right now.
Well, we're going to have some best of.
Yes, they're coming up this week. Thanks, RIAA and your dogs, attack dogs. All right, this has been Podcast 39. We'll see you later.
Now, how would you like some cocoa?
Good. May I have some cake, too?